Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. Today, the part of my interesting conversational partner is being played by my good friend, Pat Helmers. He is a business consultant and technology startup coach. He is also the author of the Selling with Confidence Sales System and host of the award-winning Sales Babble podcast. If you haven't checked it out and you're in sales, please do. I've been a guest. I'm biased, but it's pretty awesome. Pat is also currently launching a new business called Habanero Media, which produces turnkey business podcasts. Pat, how are you today?
I'm doing great, but I'm not actually not launching Habanero Media. It's Habanero Media.
Habanero. I'm sorry. I apologize.
The H is silent. I don't make these rules.
Habanero Media, mi amigo. Es muy bueno. Gracias. Well, and we also have to talk about beers. You are one of my fellow beer aficionados. You drinking something good today?
I am. Today I have Capital Breweries Wisconsin Amber.
Oh, very good beer.
What I really love about this beer is it's a Helles-styled lager, like from Munich.
Okay.
So similar to the ones like people have Oktoberfest or Märzen's. It's in that it's kind of creamy, lightly hopped, but it's got a nice clean finish. It's a lager, so it's just good old fashioned German style beer, follows all the Reinheitsgebot rules.
I love it, and apparently they're going to be the next people I ask to be our sponsor after something as glowing as that. I actually am drinking our sponsor for today, Sketchbook Brewing. And strangely enough, I'm drinking their Oktoberfest, the Diapason Oktoberfest. Sketchbook Brewing is right here in Evanston, Illinois. I know that we've been there. We recorded an episode of your podcast there. And I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of Oktoberfest. And it is seasonal, of course, which I kind of like because you appreciate it more. You know, it's not going to last forever. And this is a great Oktoberfest. So got to give a shout out to Sketchbook. Thank you for sponsoring this episode of Beer, Beats, and Business. Pat, there's a bunch of questions I could ask you. What were you going to say?
Prost.
Prost. Prost. There we go. It's appropriate for the, yeah, Prost. Sláinte. L'chaim. Cheers. What?
Well, these are German beers, so it's Prost.
That's true. You got what I've always appreciated, by the way, as a complete side note, is that every language, like every culture that I've at least run into so far, has something you say when you clink glasses and like it's a human thing we get where we have to recognize that we're drinking for a reason, you know, to life or whatever it is.
You know, to your health. Cheers.
Yeah. I love it. So, okay, we have a couple different ways we could go, but here's the question that I want to ask you.
Yep.
Why is the human element of sales increasingly important in a world that is actually more and more, or at least seemingly more and more technologically driven every day?
I think, you know, everything that I'm reading these days, it's pretty disturbing that people are feeling more and more isolated because of social media. It's what I heard someone call a fake fireplace.
Oh, you know, okay.
People used to sit around the fire and tell stories. And you think you're doing that in maybe Facebook, or you think you're doing that in LinkedIn, right? But you're really not. You're not having real, authentic relationships. And people are getting, you know, and people are getting lonelier and lonelier, and they don't even realize they're in it. They're almost like frogs in the pot that's slowly being turned up the heat.
Right.
You know, so there's this like myth out there that through digital marketing somehow, that if I got the right kind of drip campaign in my emails, if I have the right kind of Facebook ads, my targeted Facebook ads, like the Russians do, like, or Google ads, or, you know, or something like that, that somehow magically I'm going to speak to people and they're going to call me up on the phone, or they're just going to, or they're going to put something in the shopping cart and
right.
buy.
And they're not. Oh, yeah. I mean, you mean all those Facebook ads telling me that there's a system out there that all I have to do is buy the system and all of this will happen? That's not true.
No, that will happen. And
okay.
Yeah. And people are thinking like, oh, maybe I can avoid being salesy. Oh, I can avoid like talking to somebody somehow, right? Or I'll have them call me up. Maybe they would call me and I can be an order taker.
Right. But, does being salesy, you just said two things that was interesting. Like I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to talk to people.
Yeah.
Have those two things been incorrectly conflated in people's minds, do you
yeah.
think?
Yeah, these are all myths.
Right.
These are fake stories.
Right. I mean, and yes, I'm kind of tossing up easy balls for you to knock out of the park, because I know that you and I have very similar opinions on this. But what are you seeing is kind of like, what are the best places for people to spend their attention if they want to get better at selling? If they want to, you know, actually build a business? Because sales, I think you'd agree, it's not going away anytime soon, right? We still have to make business happen in some way, shape, or form. Like, where are people spending their time effectively these days?
I think if people are like struggling with trying to connect with people, if they don't understand exactly how to like call them up, or if they shake hands with them, or they don't know what to do to somehow get an appointment, which is the hardest part of the sale, right? There's really two hard parts of the sale. The hardest part is just getting the appointment. Lots of people say, once I get in front of somebody, I'm pretty good. Well, at least that's what they say. But getting in front of somebody's hard. And then the second part's getting them is closing them in a
commitment
way that says, you know, do you want to become a customer? Do you want to buy? You want to sign up or what? Like, that's the second. That first part where a lot of people struggle with is, I think actually if they were to spend more time actually talking to their customers,
okay,
and better understanding how they made a decision to purchase you, what was the aspirations or the pains that they were experiencing at the time? What were they doing before? Why did they go that path for so long? And what was the thing that actually made them decide, like, I need to switch?
Right.
And then of all the choices out there, why did they pick you? What made you special? And the thing is, if you talk to 6, 7, or 8 of your existing customers, you would hear some reoccurring themes would be coming up, that you could then, when you bump into somebody likes your customers, who's not your customer, you could start expressing that. Right. And if you're a startup, which is where I put a lot of my time in, you don't have any existing customers. In many regards, it's just the same process. You find people who you think is your ideal client, and you just call them up and you say, I got an idea for something. I'm not certain exactly the best way to promote it. Would you be open for having coffee?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for your advice because you're an expert in this. And when you go and have coffee, you genuinely ask them questions about what kinds of hopes and desires do you have? You know, what kind of pains and challenges do you have?
What's irritating you today?
Yeah, you know, stuff like, and I'm not talking about that boring thing like what keeps you up at night kind of.
You know,
so it's the path to success is having genuine, authentic conversations.
What an amazing concept, right? Well, and it's interesting going back to that idea of using digital to try to replace that. You know, one kind of failing or gap I see with a lot of these people who want to do the, you know, digital funnels, and you can do all this research online. There's no real engagement with the prospect or the customer to find out. You just kind of assume, hey, if I just have this really cleverly written ad on Facebook or Twitter, wherever, and if I have these great emails, it's almost like very narcissistic or solipsistic, right?
And I don't have an issue with those, by the way. Don't get me wrong.
Those are
great tools for automating things that you already know. So if there's, you good see point. Yourself doing repetitive tasks over and over again, I'm copying and pasting the same emails all the time. I got them written really nice. I'm copying and pasting them by hand. I'm like, well, maybe you should buy an email tool, automated email tool, and have that machine do that. And you constantly see that people go one or two ways when they respond. Maybe you could have the email tool do that, you know?
Right.
And you hear these yep. people saying constantly, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. Well, now you know how to write a Facebook ad. Do you know, are you in XYZ industry and not have enough time? And then that speaks to them.
But so it's really interesting the order that you put these in, right? So you said, hey, figure out the solution, figure out through engagement with the people you're serving what they need and how you help them. And then you said, if you get busy, now we have a tool that allows us to automate parts of it. I mean, that's actually something right. that I talked to people about LinkedIn a lot. LinkedIn is not and even when we started this conversation, LinkedIn is not a replacement for relationship building in the offline world, in my opinion. It's just a tool you can use to facilitate existing relationships. And yes, you can start new ones, but just because somebody is, there's nobody I know on LinkedIn who I've started a relationship on LinkedIn who I would consider that I have a relationship with them unless I've actually talked to them offline. That was a really yeah. weird sentence, but does that make sense?
Well, I've met a lot of people on LinkedIn who I've never actually personally met, but I've bumped into them often on LinkedIn for years. Sometimes I've been on telephone calls with them.
No, absolutely. No. Yes. I guess that's my point is there's a lot of people who I've never physically met, but who we've had an actual conversation offline. And in my opinion, that works. That's a relationship.
Yeah, it does. And a lot of people don't get to know, don't truly understand the best way of using LinkedIn. But in my mind, if you have the paradigm of like the networking meeting at the Chamber of Commerce,
yep,
you use it just like that. You bump into somebody, you shake hands. Hey, what do you do? What do you do? You know, what do you do for fun? You know,
right.
What are you working on? You know, you don't like this. You've probably seen this on LinkedIn all the time. First thing I get is a message like pitching their crap.
I mean,
so, sign up for my webinar.
3 to 5
download.
Yeah. It's so annoying. And you might get these. I know I do all the time is because I have speaker and coach and author in my title. You know, somebody just scrapes that information. And all of a sudden, I can get you 10 or 15 new high paying coaching prospects a month. You know. And I'm like, oh, geez, come on. I've gotten the same message from 3 other people today.
Right. And by the way, I'm coaching people on how to do lead generation. Why are you trying to sell me lead generation services?
Don't get me started on the LinkedIn experts that pitch me. I actually have responded. Usually I just delete them, but every once in a while I get snippy and go, hey, you know what? I'm good. Here's the Amazon list of my LinkedIn book. I think I'm cool. We're good. Right.
I love it.
But I think you're right though, that idea of, and we're talking about LinkedIn kind of in a professional setting, but even some of the other platforms are out there, that idea of it is a public space, right? In some way, shape or form. So I use the analogy often with LinkedIn, like a networking event or even a singles bar. And what I mean by that is not that you should go hit on anybody on LinkedIn, but rather there's a group of people who all have the same goal of meeting other people. But if all you do is stay there, you know, keep it there, that's not a relationship. It's to your point, hey, you meet the person at the networking event. Hey, what do you do? Oh, you're an interesting person. Or, oh, we've got some shared interests, or there might be a way we could, you know, help each other out. Let's have that cup of coffee. Right.
Yep.
That's the analog version.
Yep. So
the online version, and I can think of at least 3 or 4 people off the top of my head. And in fact, I'd include us. Like we met on LinkedIn, if I remember correctly.
That's probably true.
Right. And you know, and then at a certain point I go, wow, there are some commonalities, you know, maybe I've seen a lot of your content, vice versa. And then it's, hey, let's grab that phone call. let's grab, I love Zoom for this. Let's grab a video call, spend a half an hour, because that's going to be way, a half an hour spent having a conversation is going to be much more powerful than 100 LinkedIn comments, I guess is what I would say.
Yep.
And not that those, that engagement online is not negative. Now, I guess the converse of that is, if you do have that relationship built, like a great way that you and I stay in touch, I know, is by using LinkedIn, because we're seeing what each other is doing. We're engaging with that content. I see if you're speaking, you see if I'm speaking, the guests we have on our podcast. So that's what I'm saying. It's a tool that helps us kind of maintain that, even though we don't see each other all the time. But I don't think either of us would mistake LinkedIn for actually having a relationship with a person. Is that accurate? I don't want to speak for
you. Actually, I have a client right now I've had for a year and a half. She lives in San Francisco. We've never met physically. She found me on LinkedIn.
There you go.
I had another client for quite a while. We worked together for about three. She's also out in California. Great lady. And we had a project and we got that done. Never met her. Only here on LinkedIn.
Right. So to your point, great place to find people. Did you have a conversation with them before they became a client?
Oh, lots. It's like any sales. Right.
Well, no. So what's funny is you just said that like, duh, it's obvious. But I think the myth or the mistake that a lot of people make who maybe don't come from a sales background, what they want to do is expect, and you and I have both seen these people all over LinkedIn, which is annoying as heck, is just the idea that, oh, you're going to put a bunch of content on LinkedIn and people are going to just message you and go, hey, can I hire you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what happens.
Yeah. Like I'm a podcaster. So at least every 2 weeks I can edit podcasts. Hire me to edit podcasts. I do a good job. I get you listeners. And I'm like, right.
Great. Right. Well, and exactly. So I think for a lot of people, are kind of down on LinkedIn or really any social media site, but let's just keep in the business realm, because they thought that they could just put up a few quick posts on LinkedIn and business would come, and then nothing happens. And they're like, well, this is BS. Versus I think you and I are both people that,
yeah.
And again, I don't want to speak for you, but I don't spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, but I'm there regularly.
Right? I'm there a lot, and I like LinkedIn.
Okay.
Let me tell you a secret, Hardy. I'm hardly ever on Facebook anymore.
That's not, you don't even have to say that a secret. I'll tell that. I'm not a huge fan of Facebook. I know my wife loves it, and that's great. Some people do, but not for me.
It exhausted me. I used to spend a lot of time on there, and then because everybody says you should, but I just came to the realization that my avatar, you know, my ideal client, you know, they're in LinkedIn. They're not in Facebook. They're not on Twitter. They're not in Pinterest. They're not on TikTok. they're in LinkedIn. My people are in LinkedIn, so I'm going to hang out in LinkedIn.
No, that makes sense. And obviously, you're able to generate business from it, so it makes sense.
Yep.
But also, to anybody who wants to generate business through LinkedIn, what you've also heard is two things, hopefully, from Pat. One is that he spends time there. He's not just like showing up every once in a while. And two is that he's taking it offline, right?
Yeah.
And I think that those are two things that, you know, they're investments that people aren't always willing to make.
Yep. That is so true.
So you're talking about podcasts. I know that Habanero is in that podcast world. What talk to me a little bit about that. What do you got going on there?
Oh, Habanero's new. I've only been doing it for about 5 weeks now. It's brand spanking new. I've been podcasting for over 5.5 years.
Which is ancient in the podcasting world.
It's ancient.
Who doesn't know?
Right. My podcast comes out 3 a.m. on Tuesdays like clockwork. I treat it like a real job.
How many episodes do you have so far?
288, 89, something
that's
like
a lot
that.
Of, that's a lot of episodes. I think I'm on two of them, so I'm proud of that.
Yes, you are. So anyway, but people keep asking me this year to talk about podcasting. You know, so I've given three talks on podcasts, four talks on what's a podcast, what's podcasts about, how can you make money at podcasts? Should you host one? Could you be on one? You know, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And it's really fun. And people keep asking me, I'd like to start a podcast. Pat, would you do that? Would you help me do that? And I'm like, well, I'll teach you. But I'm not going to do it. That's just not my business.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know what it was, but I was at Podcast Movement in August down in Orlando.
Great conference. I've been there before.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Everybody there. The broadcasters are there now. ABC,
oh, wow.
ESPN, NPR, Spotify, Pandora. You know,
that's I was at Podcast Movement in Chicago. What was that, 2 years ago or 3 years ago? And it definitely wasn't that big then. So this is, that's huge.
No, podcasts were a bunch of people in their basements who were talking about, you know.
Like us.
Just a couple. So anyway, I was just talking to these people who were doing podcast production. I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. And I was talking to one of my clients on the phone that night. And he's like, dude, I think you can make $2,000 $2,000 a month doing this. Well, I think that's a little high, but but it got me thinking. It motivated me to go to a panel that next day. And I saw two guys who are doing this kind of stuff that I'm doing to do for Habanero, which is actually doing the podcast for people, showing up, we're getting them to speak properly, you know, getting them to be comfortable in front of the microphone, recording right. It, and have a turnkey solution. People don't have to think about it at all. They don't think about the tech. They don't have to think about what to say. It just happens.
Oh, cool.
And then later that day, there was a guy who I was living with in the Airbnb. A bunch of us were staying in an Airbnb, all at the same conference, all unplanned. And he wanted to start a podcast, and I forced him to start a podcast, and I recorded him, and it was fun working on somebody else's podcast.
Very cool.
So I came back and said, I want to do this. And after a couple of weeks of thinking about it, I threw up a website. I started building examples of podcasts. So I'm interviewing. I got people who have businesses and said, I'll do a free episode. And I've done like five of them. And they sound terrific.
That's fantastic.
And now I got my first customer last week. I got another one this week. And this is the thing, interesting Dave. This is the thing. Because I've been putting more energy into Habanero, sales babble is getting better. Mm-hmm. I had the most downloads I've ever had last month. I got two people. I've kind of struggled with getting sponsors or something like that. I got two serious sponsors signed up now.
That's awesome.
So it's like, what's going on here, you know?
By the way, Sketchbook, you are a very serious sponsor, just so you know.
Cheers.
I don't want Sketchbook.
No, we should do. we should do a commercial break for Sketchbook.
Sketchbook, they're fantastic. And I'll tell you what, if you want to record a live podcast interview, it is a great place to do that. You'll have delicious beers. They've got an expanded tap room. Just go at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon in between places or in between the busy times. It's a great place to record an interview. So anyways, that's great. It sounds like it's taken off. And one thing I want to point out that I want to thank you for this is that it sounds like you're teaching people how to do podcasting the right way.
Right.
Because just with any new platform and podcasting is one place I see this. I've seen this also, especially with video, you know, going back to our LinkedIn conversation, when native LinkedIn video came out, everybody wants to do it. And there's actually skills to creating this sort of content. It's not a matter of turning on a microphone or turning on a camera and then all of a sudden putting out, it's garbage. One, it just clogs up the feed, but two, it actually, I think, hurts people who are sometimes very skilled, talented, and can help people, but it turns them off. Like if I see a bad video of you, like, you know, if you're just your face just right up to the camera.
I woke up to something I hadn't realized, that I've been working on my podcast for so long, I pretty much could do it in my sleep.
Right.
But when I started working on other people's podcasts, figuring out, you know, what's the start going to sound like? And what's the music going to be? And what's going to be the structure of the podcast? You know, and I started recording people and building them. All of a sudden I got files all over my laptops. It's a mess, right? And I'm like, there's no process here. And all of a sudden I'm using my mobile studio around and it starts breaking and all the wires are breaking. Everything's like breaking. And I come to realize like, wow, this is really stretching me. That podcasting, I'd forgotten it, is hard. It's hard. It's not for...
Thank you for saying that.
It's not trivial. You know, right? It's not for somebody to do that. And if somebody... And people think, and I know I hear some podcasts like this, you know, think they can just call up on the phone something or, you know, fire up a recorder and shove it out there. It's not going to last. And that's why the vast majority of the podcasts pod fade.
Yeah.
And you're right. And people don't know. They don't know who their audience is. They don't know their ideal client. They don't have a value proposition wrapped around that.
Well, they don't know why they're doing it. It's really what it comes down to, right? They don't know like why they're doing it, who they're talking to, why they're spending the time and energy. So many people just, I heard this was a good idea.
Yeah. I have a sell sheet for this. And in my mind, the way it works for podcasts for businesses, which is what I want to do. I want to sell it to client-based B2B businesses.
For sure.
It's kind of like, it's all about retaining your clients so they don't leave. This is another opportunity for you to talk to them every month. Getting references in their words, like why they love you so that people can hear it. Referrals, they can there share the link to friends of theirs so they can become clients. And then at the end, there's an upsell, right? There's a call to action at the end that says, we got this hot new thing. You should give us a call if you're interested. And then the fifth thing is, the last, which is most interesting, if you're shy about prospecting and getting people to know, if you ask people to come on your podcast, they're honored. They think it's cool.
It's a lot easier to get on people's calendars for a podcast interview.
And that's what I'm doing with these sponsors.
I love it.
They come on there. They're like, well, who's your ideal? Oh, by the way, it was a great interview, Dave. You know, who is your ideal client? Oh, really? Huh? You know, that's my audience.
Yeah. I love it. So, I mean, it's funny you say that because I know the first couple seasons of B3, I was working through the answers to all those questions. And in fact, one of the things that excited me about really kind of the kickstarting of season 5 is I realized that my main goal, and hey, everybody, I'm super excited you're listening to these conversations. I know you're going to get a lot out of them. But for me, the excuse was to talk to really smart people about interesting things.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is an incredibly selfish endeavor for me on some levels, right? It's an excuse to call up Pat Helmers and be like, Pat, give me an hour of your time. but genuinely, that's one of my goals. Now, one of my other goals is to actually be a person who can provide the insights that we're sharing. And there, our guests are very... very varied, right? The things we're talking about apply to entrepreneurship and sales and just all kinds of different fun things. But I know that it'll make people, you know, it'll give people some insights into how to live and work more effectively. But it was really important that I kind of own that's my goal. And once I knew that, everything got a lot easier with my podcast. So
interesting.
I'm with you.
Interesting.
All right. Just because I want to touch on this topic, I'm going to use this. We're definitely not going to finish it. So this will be a great bridge because I know we're going to have you back on sooner rather than later. Like I just knew we would have way too many things to go into.
You know, I'm easy.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you want me, I'll be there.
I love it. Hey, I got a 4-month-old, so that might be 3 a.m. when, you know, you can't sleep. You know,
I'm good with babies. We'll bring them with.
Even better. And by the way, Sketchbook has gotten a lot of love this episode, as they should. They're the sponsor. Liam, my son, was at Sketchbook when he was 6 days old. We had to get out of the house. It was walkable. We're like, there we go. And he was great, slept the entire time, and he's become...
That's the way you do it. Did you ever hear the Freakonomics episode on Budweiser, the Scion?
No. What's that?
When the Bushes, as soon as the baby's born, they put a drop of beer in their mouth the day they're born.
Really? So, just to get them used to it?
Yeah.
I like it.
The Scion.
Okay, I will have... In public record, Liam has not had any beer yet.
Okay.
His dad, I can't.
We'll be calling DCFS tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So let's in 4 or 5 minutes dive into all of Stoicism and
my goodness,
and contrasting it and comparing it to Eastern philosophy, Zen, Taoism, which I know you've mm-hmm. written a book called The Tao of Sales, which I have a chance to look at. It was fantastic. I don't even know where we could, I mean, it's such a huge topic. What's one thing about, because I know you've been kind of studying Stoicism lately, what's one thing that's really had an impact on you?
Diarying. Marcus Aurelius was the last of the five great emperors of Rome, and he had nobody to talk to, and he was a genuinely good man trying to do the best he could to run a big ass country and fight a bunch of wars of Germans trying to come across the Danube.
You know what? Don't lay it all on the Germans, because he was doing a lot in the East as well.
Yes.
In kind of modern day Syria. Like, you remember, I took 4 years of Latin. I've done everything was going wrong for that guy.
It wasn't just
one place.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They had Greece at the time. They owned Egypt.
Dacia. That's what it was called. Dacia.
Dacia
was the Middle East. Yeah,
Macedonia. They had. So anyway, and and what he did in order to, he had nobody to really coach him, so he coached himself, and he would write these notes to himself, like in a diary of like, you need to do this, you need to do that, and the kinds of things that he believed was pretty clear. It was like, look, life is short, stop wasting time, you know, mm-hmm. on things that aren't that important. Stop wasting time trying to make everybody happy, you know, and being concerned what people think. Instead, spend more time being generous with people and patient with people and kind with people, making the world a better place, because these are the things that really matter. Stop.
Right.
And he kind of like wrote everything in that style.
I've read the Meditations. Yep. That's well, right. And they also don't know if they have all of them, right? So it is.
Well, they think so. His, when he passed away, he said, burn them all, burn it. In his slave, it was a Greek guy back then. They have high end slaves. These guys were super educated Greeks. And he said, there's no way we're burning this. This is awesome stuff. And thank goodness that he didn't. So we have it here today.
Right.
So I got interested in it, in Stoicism, really big about last fall. It's not that I haven't heard about it, you know, but.
Well, Ryan Holiday has been making the rounds and putting a lot of marketing behind it. So.
Is that right? I don't know him. No, I don't know him, but.
Checking out.
Who's the 4 hour guy? What's his name?
Oh, Ferris.
Tim Ferris is a Stoic, and he's, I've heard some of his stuff. Well, anyway, I decided on May 1st to start using Epictetus's 3 questions that you ask yourself at night.
Fantastic.
What did you do good? What did you do bad? What can you do to be a better version of yourself? I'm not a night person, so I do it in the morning.
Love it. By the way, Epictetus, also a Greek slave.
Yes, that's correct.
They had those Greeks.
They rocked. Hey, if only they could get their country together.
But you got to appreciate the Romans, because at least they would go in and conquer anybody and everybody at the time. But the one thing I loved about the Romans is they would go in, and when they conquered a place, they didn't just go, hey, we're the best because we conquered you. They would conquer you and then go, hey, what do you have that's better than ours? And we're just going to take it. Hence, all of the Roman gods are Greek gods. All of the education and like learning, they just took all the smart Greeks. We're like, hey, you guys have figured this out 400 years ago. We're going to take it.
They did. And they pretty much, for the most part, let people be who they wanted to be. They pretty much let people live the lives they wanted to live the language that they wanted. But at the same time, sometimes the taxation was pretty tough. And
we don't want to like apologize for the Romans too much.
But, and get this, although Marcus Aurelius was a great man, he had a blind spot when it came to his son, Commodus, who turned out to be the guy. So have you ever seen the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe?
That's him.
That's Commodus.
Commodus didn't do so great.
No.
All right. So.
So anyway, so I've been, so anyway, so I've been diarying since May 1st. My son, my, I'm very proud of my third son. I'm proud of all my sons, but my third son just completed Ranger School in the United States Army.
Oh, wow.
Captain of the Army in Germany.
That's huge.
He gave me one of the books that he used in Ranger School that he uses in there. And it's one of these ones that you can write in the rain and it still works.
Okay. Okay.
So every morning I ask these three questions. I go, what did you do good? And I thank myself for it. Pat, you did a good job. You were generous with somebody yesterday. You know, you did a good job. You worked hard. You were productive here. Good job. You know, and I thank myself. Right. And the second thing was, you know what? You kind of slacked here. You know, you'd have phoned this in. And I'm like, yeah. So now tell myself, yeah, I did. Let's just call it as it is. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing will be something like, you know, when you were slacking, you know, if you'd have done this in a different way, you might have been able to do better. You're right.
Right.
Or it might be go to number one. It might be like, because you did so good on that, maybe we should amp this up and do more of it. And this is what I've found. I've lost 10 pounds because of this thing. I am walking more. I write my steps in.
Okay.
I am kinder. I'm more patient. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. Because every day I'm reading this stuff and I see some of the same stuff day after day. Mm-hmm. And I'm making incremental changes. And it's really showing up. And people notice it.
That's great. It all comes down to awareness and mindfulness, right?
It is, which is where it goes to the East, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is... Yep. You know, I'm a big fan of Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, mindfulness and true meditation, like the way the Buddhists do,
yep.
You know, and I found that really, really works. I've been doing that for a long time, but now compounding it with this diarying thing, geez, it's just super duper powerful.
I love it. And that sounds like a great place for us to end this mm-hmm. part of our conversation. As I said, I know we'll be coming back to this. Pat, what's the best way for somebody to reach out, get in touch with you?
I am
continue the conversation.
Easy to get a hold of. Just look for Pat Helmers, LinkedIn, Google shows right up. If they could listen to my podcast, Sales Babble, that would be awesome. Salesbabble.com.
Check it out. And it's getting better and better every day. Thank you again as well to Sketchbook Brewing, who has sponsored this episode. I've been drinking their Diet Paison, but they have a lot of wonderful flavors of brewed beverages there.
Sketchbook!
Sketchbook is great. So definitely check them out wherever you buy beer, or check out their expanded tap room in Evanston, Illinois. And everybody, thank you so much for spending time with me and Pat here today. Hope you got some insights that are going to be useful in your life. And we'll see you next time on Beer, Beats, and Business. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar, and we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.